Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
We don't need thorough education. We don't need to be highly magnified. No Wogglebug in the Ozcast. Hey, teacher, go read some Oz. All in all, it's just another brick in the yellow brick road.
Yay. What is this, episode 8?
This is episode 8?
I think 8.
I couldn't figure it out for a second. Ocho. Yeah, it's episode 8.
Of Ozcast.
Of Ozcast. With Dylan and Andre. The show that...
Dylan just got really scared because he heard his mom walking upstairs, and technically we're not supposed to be doing this.
Yeah, we're doing this off the grid this week. I did not tell my parents that you were coming over or that you brought your dog.
My dog is here. He's under the table. You might hear his noises in the background.
Hey, maybe.
Or later.
Maybe there's a new segment.
In a new segment.
So we're back for episode 8. This week we're doing the second book.
The Marvelous Land of Oz?
That Marvelous Land of Oz.
Is that what it's called?
Is it just Land of Oz or Marvelous? I can't remember.
Wait, no, I got the title. Marvelous Land of Oz. Yeah. I always just call it book too.
Yeah, these books are less like books to me and more like ideas.
Chapters in the big book.
In that big book we call Ozcast.
Baum. Big book of Baum.
Tightly baumed. Leather-baumed book.
Yeah.
And maybe he's into leather. Who knows with the stuff he's putting in this book. It feels like this book could be The Wizard of Oz from, like, just, like, another unit. Like, it kind of feels like a sequel, but if you were like, oh, he wrote two books at the same time.
Right.
And was trying to sell each of them. And they bought The Wizard of Oz, and they didn't buy this one.
They didn't, yeah.
So he used it, like, 10 years later. I'd be like, that makes sense.
I will say, I did like this book. I think I liked it more than book one.
I think it's worse than book one, but I think I liked it more, because I didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yeah, I will get into it, but I think it's more of, like, there's more real writing happening here for me. Not great writing, but more thought.
There's some...
More, like, character arcs and relationships.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like, a big central conflict.
Yeah.
There's a couple of central conflicts. Yeah. But I felt like there was... In Tip, who is the main character of this, it's...
Hey, I'll show you a tip.
Hey, we'll get to that.
We'll get to it.
We'll get to that. There's kind of more of a character that, like, isn't just... Like, and then stuff happens to him, like, kind of with Dorothy, where it's just like, then Dorothy walks around, right. And
Tip does stuff.
Tip, like, immediately chapter one is like, I'm building a pumpkin head.
I'm leaving, I'm going.
First thing he does is, like, he's like, my life sucks, pumpkin head ass dude, right away.
Oh, actually, before we get into the book, I just do want to say, my version of the book did open... with a thank you from Baum that reads, to those excellent good fellows and eminent comedians David C. Montgomery and Fred A. Stone, which were two guys that played the Scarecrow and Tin Man on Broadway. I Googled them. Immediately, they are in blackface. Like, the third result was them in blackface.
Hey, look, that was that's what you get when you look at those period pieces from the time. Not a lot you can do on that. But actually, before we get into the book itself, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do.
Right.
We did say that this episode was supposed to be feature the Vaughn reveal.
Right. That fell through.
Didn't happen. Andre was feeling a little sick.
I got poo-poo disease.
And then Vaughn canceled on me. This more for posterity's sake, and also so when Vaughn has to listen back to this, he can understand exactly what I was trying to do. I did have to be like, oh yeah, I'll, you know, we'll have to, you'll have to come over to my house for some reason soon. I wanted to plan it out so I could release that episode on April Fool's Day, right. But it's not going to work because he's What's on vacation date? Now.
Yeah, that's and I'm happen.
Going on vacation soon, so we're gonna miss it. But we'll do a late April.
Where are you going? Hedonism.
Yeah, go to Hedonism too.
With the family, it's the yearly Fredo trip to Hedonism.
My Uncle Tom planned it.
Your
out.
Uncle Tom?
Yeah, my.
Oh.
No, my Uncle Tom and my Aunt Bunny planned it out. Yeah, we're gonna go see the family lives down in Hedonism.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm going to gay party.
Say it again.
I'm going to gay party. Going to France, baby.
Oh, gay per. Okay.
Going to Paris.
I was hearing gape and then just a bunch of other stuff that didn't make. Okay.
I'm going to a jamboree.
Wow.
I'm excited. I'm going to Paris. I think it's going to be great. I'm going to
eat snails.
Going to Disneyland Paris. I love escargot, actually. I eat it all the time.
I like it fine, but every time I eat it, I'm like, this is just a bunch of garlic and butter. You could just put this on shrimp.
It doesn't
need to be on snails.
You could put it on anything. You put it on bread.
Steak.
Steak, grilled cheese.
Like, no, we have to put it on the fucking disgusting slime bug.
I was teaching science class the other day, and we brought up slugs in class.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about, like, foxes eating slugs.
Right.
And I was like, guys, you know you can't eat slugs. And the other teacher in there was like, what do you mean? And I was like, if you eat slugs, you get, like, paralysis.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's important to know. You really shouldn't eat slugs. You can eat snails. But if you eat slugs, you'll die almost instantly.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why didn't snails develop the paralysis gene?
They're too yummy.
We could get rid of France and like that.
Ew, I'm frozen.
You know, it's one of my favorite. You ever see that picture of the French guy trying Coke?
Coke and he's...
This does not taste like cigarettes and piss.
They should give that guy Coke Zero. He'll lose his mind. He'll explode. And there are zero calories.
Okay.
But before we get into the book, we got to do a little Oz news.
Oz news.
We always open the show this way. 7 minutes in after talking about some bullshit.
Look, you got to decompress a little bit. Yeah, we got to let the listeners know what's going on in our personal lives.
That's why you're here. You want to hear about slugs and stuff. That's why.
And then I've been dog sitting for a week.
You got to know about it. Well, we got two pieces of news here for you. One, I got a huge Wizard of Oz Easter egg you missed in Wicked.
What?
This is
the whole movie?
It's actually a prequel. What?
That's wait. This is the
no.
Okay.
The thing is that Nessa Rose's silver slippers, which are silver like in the book, not red like in the Garland movie, have little tornadoes. They're spiral. They have little tornadoes on them. That's what this entire article's about.
There's about fucking 2,000 words there, just about. Nothing.
Yeah, and then they interviewed the person who played Nessa Rose, and she was like, yeah, it's,
They interviewed her for
Yeah,
this?
They were like, it's like the tornado. So, big news. And then, our other news, we actually have an update on that, remember I said those red ruby slippers were on sale.
On auction, yeah.
Well, you also might have remembered that I said somebody stole them.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, he died.
Just recently?
He just died. This is news from updated 2 days ago. Man charged in connection to Wizard of Oz Ruby Slipper heist is dead, prosecutors say. They could not... They didn't get him on the crime. They were going to charge him, but he died before
they
could.
You think he faked his death to escape the...
His name was Jerry Saliterman.
What was his name?
Jerry Hal Saliterman.
Yeah, that is his name.
Yeah, he confessed, I think. Or no, the other guy confessed. And then they were gonna say, oh, we're gonna arrest you, but prosecutors were like, yeah, let's dismiss the case. He just died on Sunday. So it's pretty sad. You know, you never want anybody to die, especially not a famous thief.
R.I.P. to Saliterman.
Saliterman is
up
there.
A piece of Oz history.
With Pie Dirt in heaven.
Pie Dirt, you know we love that dirt of yours.
Keep on dishing out that dirt, Pie Dirt. I like, spill that tea. So that's our Oz news. One completely nonsensical new fake news.
Just slop our fake I'm news sure story. It was AI, but...
And one guy who is dead.
Died. Dead man.
One guy, he was 77. I hope he had a good life.
Salida, yeah, he probably, that you know, if you steal the ruby slippers, that's pretty sweet.
If you were like, my grandpa stole the ruby slippers, I'd be like, interesting.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Better than freaking, yeah, I don't know, freaking.
Than a grandpa who votes for the Cheeto in the White House.
Dude, that's, we're 8 for 8. Saliterman almost definitely didn't vote at all. He was probably a convict, so
yeah,
I could say.
They didn't vote for him.
Yeah, he didn't vote for that Cheeto in the White House.
And if he did, it was fraud.
He couldn't vote. He's been dead for 25 years. he stole the slippers in 2005. They couldn't get him. It's been 20 years. You can't get Saliterman, man. He's too slippery.
He's too oiled up.
He's oiled up. He's got the slippers on.
It's a cat. He's like the gnome king. He just wanted to wear. He lifts up his skirt and he's wearing the slippers.
Ew, I've got my slippers on.
Why don't you come up and see me sometime? He's doing Mae West stuff with them.
Somebody stop me.
And Jim Carrey, he's the mask. What if Why don't you come up and see my feet sometime? They're in the slippers. What does that mean? I never watched a Mae West movie. She wants to have sex with them? Is that...
With her slipper? Wait, what's the Mae West quote?
Why don't you come up and see me sometime?
Why don't you?
I think it's like a innuendo. I think it's her being like, come and have sex with my pussy in my room.
Mae West invites someone to come over to discuss a decision that has many angles. That is definitely not an accurate description.
That was the description of the scene?
Wait, I'm going on Tumblr. This take me to Tumblr. We're finding out what... this line is a popular alteration, blah, 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 blah. The quote's wrong. It's, why don't you come up sometime and see me?
Wow! We got a real Luke, I am your father situation.
Luke, it's me. That's what he says in the movie. He goes, yeah. Luke, I'm literally papa mode maxing right now. I'm going dad mode. I don't know what that means. Probably to, like, come and have sex or something.
R.I.P. to Mae West.
Yeah, I mean, you know, doing the voice for Fry from Futurama.
Right. That's Billy West.
That is... All right, well, let's get to the Oz section of the week. I'm feeling like we're a little low energy. Gotta pick it up a little bit. This is a book I read about 2 months ago.
Yeah, I just finished this.
Yeah, I'm seeing if I remember anything from this book. Let's get to the Land of Oz.
I will say, it does start in the north of Oz in Gillikin Country.
That good old, they make good stir fry in Gillikin
Country. You know they got bayou cooking in Gillikin Country.
That's really the Louisiana of Oz.
It's all topsy-turvy in Oz. The north is the south is the west.
The Wicked Witch of the West lives in friggin' Emerald City, man.
Dude, it's wild there.
So Tip builds a pumpkin head. That's my first note.
Right, the main character's Tip. I thought it was interesting that Tip, much like Dorothy, also raised on a farm.
Yeah, on an Oz farm.
An Oz farm.
What are they growing? Corn?
I think they said corn.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, remember in the first book when the Munchkins were like, we're slaves? The Wicked Witch enslaved us to grow, I think, also corn.
Yeah, also in the first book when they went to see Bach, who's like a character in Wicked, so that's why I know him, they were like, and then we ate a bunch of food. And I was like, what food do they have in Oz? And I was like, nope, no description, just says
food.
They ate a bunch of food.
Yeah. We do get some world building here, like the Scarecrow made magic illegal.
That's yeah, there's actually a good amount of world building in this one. You know, there's a... So Tip builds his pumpkin, right?
Yeah.
And he's kind of being held hostage. He's got like an evil stepmom almost in Mombi.
Mombi.
Who, we see a lot of Mombi action when we're looking at this stuff. I mean, there's no... We just watched Return to Oz a few weeks ago. And Mombi's in it. She's a big part in it. They do have Mombi in all sorts of things. And it's good to see she's just like a random lady in this, pretty much. Like, in the beginning, they're just like...
She's like a mean lady who does, like, light magic. She's not like a full-blown... They say, like, she's not a full-blown witch. She's like a maid-level like yeah. sorceress.
They're like, you're a witch adjacent.
Yeah. I think they call her a witchess, which is a word I've never seen before in my life.
So she brings home some life powder from like the market. Right.
Yeah.
And Tip just steals it and is like, I'm putting this shit on my pumpkin. Like straight up immediately is like, I built a scarecrow with a pumpkin for a head and now it's alive. And that thing is just like, it's right. basically the scarecrow from the first book. It's like, I was born yesterday. Yeah. I don't know what anything is. There is a running joke the whole book. He's worried about spoiling. Right. He's like, I'm going to go bad.
Another, yeah, they do that. Another part of it that I thought was weird, that when she's, like, yelling at Tip, she's like, I'm going to turn you into a statue. And his reaction is like, come on.
He's like, you're always trying to turn me into a statue.
Yeah.
Also, when she said that, I was like, okay, so that's, like, a clue that, like, Ozma's a statue in the garden.
Right.
In my mind, I was like, somebody's going to be a statue.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, nobody's a statue. Nobody's ever a statue.
Doesn't come back.
I was like, why would you put that in?
There's a little bit of that book one bomb in this.
That book one bomb where he's like, I'm dropping hints for nothing.
For nothing.
For nothing at all. So why would he do that? Why?
That's like, I couldn't tell if that was like a regular punishment, if she like regularly turns him into a stat. Again, his reaction is... just like,
come on.
Yeah, it'd be like if your mom took your phone for a week. You'd be like, ah, nards.
Yeah, and then when he leaves, he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I don't want to be a statue. And the pumpkin head is like, fucking me neither, I think. I don't know anything.
This is something, I feel like the pumpkin head when he first starts is kind of smart for a little bit. He's like at least thinking about stuff. Like he's a little intellectual. And then as the book goes on, he becomes just so stupid.
He's rotting.
Right, he's rotting.
But yeah, then he brings a sawhorse, which is yeah. kind of like a table for cutting wood.
Yeah.
He's like,
you wouldn't know it if you saw it. It's in
yeah.
movies and shit.
I know. I mean, yeah. I he's in Legends of Oz, Return to Oz, Dorothy's
right. yeah.
Adventure. but he's just like, yeah, I guess I'll bring. Can you hear Ozzy on there? I wonder.
Here, come here. I'll pick him up. Get over here. Where's the mic on this contraption?
Probably, just, I mean, anywhere in here.
All right, I'm seeing the sound levels go up.
Yeah,
I probably can.
He's there. But he just brings a sawhorse to life, and he's like, yeah, I guess this thing can come to life.
Yeah.
This is, he's like, I don't care. And then the thing is like... oh my god, I'm the fastest being in the history of the universe. Yeah. But he's just creating life, and they're like, are you our father? And he's like, yeah.
Sure, yeah. Sorry, I got a little indigestion. But
hey, that's okay. What's Ozcast without a couple of burps?
Do you notice that Balm uses the word ejaculated about 3 times in this book?
He loves it. He loves the word foolish, which he has used 17 times in this book. And the word ejaculated.
Which he is using to mean said.
Yeah, which is like, that is, you can use that. That's, it happens in literature.
Can you?
Yeah. Like, it does happen. It's in Harry Potter and stuff, actually.
It's in Harry Potter?
Yeah.
I could excuse it with Balm because it's old or whatever, but JK was putting ejaculated in Harry
Potter. Yeah, there's
Potter.
One where it's like, why would you do this, Harry? Snape ejaculated.
Nice.
But yeah, they got a guy who's a man in a pumpkin, and they're like, I guess we should just go to the
Emerald
City
again
for no reason. There's not like, oh, we gotta go home, we gotta go see the wizard. They're just like, you guys, road boys trip,
yeah.
road trip.
Might as well. Also, hey. Did you notice they use the Imperial system in Oz? There's one part where they're like, the Emerald City's 9 miles yeah. away.
Yeah, again, it doesn't feel like it's like another... It doesn't feel like Lord of the Rings, right?
No.
Where it's like, oh, this is like prehistory. It doesn't really feel like it's kind of like another world or like a kingdom. Like, yeah, kind of a kingdom. But again, it feels like it's like... just like a country.
It's so...
like a country that is just like weird.
Yeah, and there is a little bit more stuff going on here in book one, but something that I got in this and book one and Return to Oz is again just kind of like the lack of like danger. Like,
yeah, I mean, you know, there's like a big giant spider and stuff in the first book.
But...
the Cowardly Lion is just like, I'll rip its head off immediately. I don't care.
Like, Dorothy and Tip both are just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll fucking kill it.
Yeah, the third book we get to a little bit more like adventure. Right. But this is more like, again, fairy tale is what I keep saying. Like, they're in as much danger as, like, Goldilocks, where it's just like, yeah, Golden, you know, she's walking around.
Yeah. Like, it's, like, perilous in the sense that there's, like, animals, I guess.
Yeah, there's, like, some wild animals. But also, again, sometimes the animals can talk, and sometimes there's animals that are just... Are there any made-up animals? Yeah, because there's Gump.
Gump. So there's sometimes there's just... Is Wogglebug an animal? Yeah, right?
Yeah, he's like a bug.
But like a smart bug.
Yeah, we'll get to Wogglebug. But yeah, sometimes there's just normal animals who can talk. Sometimes there's made-up stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like... This is just Australia bomb. Again, like...
What, the annoying part about that to me is whenever, like... They run into something a little weird and the people are like, what the fuck is this pumpkin doing talking? And I'm like, you are...
You're a talking scarecrow.
You're a talking
also, scarecrow. Why is the scarecrow coming to life? Did he get life powder on him? I thought things just come to life sometimes.
I don't know.
Again, there's no set of rules, which is fine. It's like an absurdist. But it's not an absurdist world. It's just like, there's no rules. It's just fairies.
Yeah, I guess, though, again, the explanation is just like, it's for kids or whatever. But even that, I'm like, I don't buy it, Mom.
Yeah, also, like, you can only get away with so much, like, it's for kids.
Yeah.
When you write 15 books, I'm like, have some internal logic. You're pissing me off, man. Like, because I'm a writer, and I'm like, yeah, if I wrote 15 books and they all had wildly different, like, magic systems and shit, I think I would just be like, this is stupid.
The fucking Emerald City is, like, complete, it's, like, just actually Emerald now.
Yeah, in the first book, he's like, the Emerald City's not Emerald. And this, he's like, it's Emerald.
Also,
why would he do that?
There was this part where he talks about, like, every realm is a different color. He's like, the North is purple, and Emerald's, and South is green, or something's blue.
Yeah, he full-on just says, I think I probably have the specifics of it down, but, like... They literally are like, oh, the people and the houses and their clothes are, like, the skin is blue.
Yeah.
What? Why? What are you? No, it's not. Like, first of all, I was just like, no, it's not. You're making that up.
I read your book, pal.
And I've read your, now I've read three of your books and you mentioned that in one page. Why would you, would be like, they're blue, your blue skin, like, constantly, if they were blue. It's like if they were like, oh, yeah, they're, like, this person is green in this book, and they mention it once. Like, once.
Yeah, okay. So the country of the Munchkins is blue, and the south is red, and the west is yellow, and the north is purple. Which is just, I don't know why he did that.
Why would you? And again, I'm like, what is the purpose of that?
It never comes, there's like one page later where there actually is some like nice descriptive writing of like the purple grass like fading into green, but that's the only time it ever comes back. And it's just like a Balm doing a little bit of like pretty okay descriptive writing.
Yeah, it's just, he's such a fascinating writer to me. Because, you know, I'm three books in. I'm like, this is obviously the second book, but I've read the third one. And I'm like, he is, like, not a bad writer, but he is, like, for the time, obviously, like, not trying to, like, it's hard to hold him to, like, modern standards.
It feels like he doesn't want to write this. Like, I feel like he is a good writer that is writing something he doesn't particularly want to be writing. And I guess he is. He didn't want to
like,
make this.
He did mention that. He was like, in the beginning, he's like, thanks for writing 1,000 letters for begging me to do another one. Dorothy's not in this. Leave me alone.
The goat.
He is hilarious.
There is some funny stuff in here.
This book is funny. So I want to get to what happens next. We're like 10 pages into the actual book. So they go and ride the sawhorse to like to the Emerald City. A Tip falls off, so he's got to, like, go on his own.
Yeah.
But Jack Pumpkinhead and the Sawhorse go and meet Scarecrow. And they're like, Scarecrow, you're the wisest man in Oz.
Right.
And then he's like, yeah, but I can't understand a word you're saying.
That's another thing. I'm like, are they speaking different languages?
Well, they weren't in that. But they thought they were. Because the Scarecrow is obviously, like, supposed to be a little bit stupid. And so is Jack. And they're like, oh, Jellia Jam, we need you to translate. And they're speaking to each other. And Jellia Jam is like, the Scarecrow says he thinks you're ugly.
That bitch.
She's just hilarious. She's got lettuce shoes on. What did that I have that note. I don't remember what that means, but she has lettuce shoes on. She is a recurring character in these books.
Right.
I think she's hilarious. I want to see way more of her. She's just so fucking funny. The first character to come in and be like, I'm just messing shit up. Like, obviously, I'm like, oh, she's trying to be funny. I understand her character. I understand her motivation. Honestly, the only character in the entire books besides maybe the wizard who I'm like, oh, I get this character. This is an interesting character. You can put them in situations.
Yeah, yeah. The only character that is legible. And it's just this annoying lady.
It's like a little girl. It's like a 10-year-old girl who's got lettuce shoes. But yeah, Jack and the Scarecrow become friends. Tip meets like an army of girls.
Right.
That includes General
Ginger.
General Ginger.
But spelled weird.
Yeah. And then they're like, we're going to take over the city. And then
to make the Emerald City into rings.
Yeah, they're like, we want to wear jewelry. We got to get to the weird feminist stuff in this book. But honestly, I'm like, we could probably hit like genuinely everything in this book pretty quick.
Yeah.
So they're, the army of girls is overrunning the Emerald City. It's girls from every country in Oz. Yeah. They're like, we're banding together to get the Scarecrow out of here because we don't want to wash dishes anymore. And they're like, let's go see Nick Chopper.
Right.
Nick Chopper, obviously being the Tin Man, they give him a name in this one. We've talked about it before. But yeah, it just is like, by the way, the Scarecrow's, by the way, the Tin Man is named Nick Chopper.
Yeah.
Just drops that.
So true.
Which again, like,
it's not a part of the first book at all.
Not in the first book. No other lore.
And but yeah, they don't go into, like, maybe do like the, and you know, he used to be a bunch, like do his backstory from the book, first book, but they don't
or
do
like
that
deep
at all.
In it, right. But they're like, he's, by the way, whose name is Nick Chopper?
Nick Chopper.
Scarecrow doesn't get a name.
Nobody calls him Nick Chopper either.
I think they call him Chopper like a few times.
A couple of times.
But like, just incredibly bizarre to me. And
I will say, I did like the Scarecrow Tin Man stuff.
Yeah, because they feel like friends.
Yes, it's the only, such a big problem I have with all of this shit, both the books and like the adaptations we watch, is like, Scarecrow and Tin Man just don't interact with each other. Like, it's in Return to Oz, they, like, there's, Tin Man, first of all, is barely in it, but they, like, show this scene of, like, Tin Man and Scarecrow and Cowardly Lion, like, reuniting, and they don't even, like, acknowledge each other.
Yeah. And then in Dorothy's Return, they're, like, boys, but they're, like, they're not really, like, they're doing stuff, but I'm, like, it's so weird. Like, they don't even feel like friends. I don't feel like anything at all.
They're like freedom fighters together, technically. Like, they're fucking, like, they're co-rulers of different empires.
And in this, it kind of feels like that. Like, they're kind of competing.
Yeah.
Nick Chopper keeps being like, well, you know, I'm the, like, the nicest man. I get the best kingdom.
I love that he calls himself an emperor.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm the emperor. And Scarecrow's like, yeah, he's the emperor. He's not the king. I'm the king. And then Scarecrow's like, but I'm smarter. And he's like, yeah, but I'm stronger. And I'm like, they've got a rapport.
Yeah, there's a real relationship, which is fun.
And then just completely, well, you know what? It is existent in the third book, too.
Oh, that's good.
But it's like, you know, they're not really the focus. It triples the amount of characters.
What did you think about Tin Man making himself nickel-plated?
I liked that. He was like, I'm covered in juice.
I'm blinged out.
I'm blinged. I was like, dude, what is, genuinely, like, what is Bob doing? Like, I don't understand. So they go see Nick Chopper, and then they're just, like, walking around again, I think, and they meet Mr. H.M. Wogglebug T.E.
This is probably something just for you, but the Wogglebug reminded me so much of Bennett Cerf.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Big Bennett Cerf energy on the Wogglebug.
I'm gonna edit his face on the Wogglebug. That's the cover of the app.
But the Wogglebug's just, it's a nerdy bug. It's
immediately derails the story also. He shows up and they're like, who are you?
What are you?
And they're like, and genuinely, this has never happened in the books, in this book or the previous book, and it doesn't happen again. He's just like, backstory time.
Yeah.
Full chapter of Mr. H.M. Wogglebug T.E.'s backstory. Mr. Highly Magnified Wogglebug, Thoroughly Educated. Because he's a little bug who lives in a college, and then he's, like, reading a book, and he walks by, like, a projector.
Yeah.
And then he's like, and then I was on the projector screen and I was huge. And then I just walked away and I was huge.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of funny. That's kind of like Mike TV-esque.
Right, yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, you know, like, he's like, that's very cartoony and silly.
Some perspective shifting stuff. It's fun.
But what is he?
His character is there to just be annoying.
He's just like, I'm annoying. I'm a nerd. I have a business
card. He is literally like, he's Sheldon. He's like, there's this one part I remember where he's like, you know, the wizard didn't even have powers. And then Scarecrow's like, shut the fuck up. You didn't know the wizard. I knew the wizard, dude.
He keeps making puns. He's like, well, I'm like gonna slip and slide into a deep sleep. And the characters seem, like, really upset. Like, deeply upset, like, off-put by him. In a way that, like, when Mombi is like, I'm gonna turn you into a statue, and Tip's like, ah, come off.
Yeah.
The Wogglebug makes a pun, and Tip is like, I told you to stop making puns. And then he's like, I told you what we'll do to you if you keep making puns.
The Wogglebug gets so much more, like, ire than, like, the Wicked Witch or Mombi or, like...
It feels like they hate him.
They hate him so much.
And honestly, I was like, I get it. But then because they hate him so much, I was like having this inverse effect where I was like, wait, I love him.
Well, again, it's one of these old things where it's like, oh, he's invoking emotions in the characters. Like, this is one of the only times this happens in the Oz books.
Yeah, and
I kind of like the Wogglebug now.
Because he's upsetting everyone, I'm like, that's why I love him.
Yeah.
But yeah, they literally are like, we're going to throw you, like, to a wolf if you keep making puns. It is a revolution. It's a girl. It's a feminist revolution.
A phenomenon or whatever.
I want to get to it after we just get through all the book, because we got to talk about it a little bit. But Hungary gets canonized in Oz. They eat Hungarian goulash. What? What do you mean they eat Hungarian goulash?
Well, they're an agricultural country. They have a lot of corn and squash and whatever else is in goulash.
And that was another thing where I was just like, again, like, it just takes place, like, in part of the world, it feels like.
Yeah.
Scarecrow defeats General Ginger by asking the Mice Queen to just, like, run around.
Yep.
And he's like, women are scared of mice.
So true, Scarecrow.
Pastori is mentioned. He's the former king before the wizard.
Right.
That was interesting. I was like, we're getting a little more lore. Do you want to do any world building? Come on. Come on. And then he was like, I'll do a little. I'll do a very little bit. I think this must be a direct quote. He says, common folks are like the leaves of the tree and live and die unnoticed. That must be a direct quote in there, I think.
Baum does do that sometimes where, like, most of the fucking writing in the entire book is just, like, they went to the forest.
They were walking jollily along the road.
And then there's the one just devastating... I think about the fucking book one, how, like, the entire book was just nothing. And then there was the part in, like, Kansas where it was, like, Aunt Em was...
cracked and brittle like the dry dirt. Like the dusty dirt stuck under our fingernails from thousands of years of labor.
Again, he is like, I do feel like he's like a real writer that is just like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, because he's pulling like some McCarthy line, like Cormac McCarthy lines where it's like, oh, like you feel it in your gut. And every other line is just like, I'm the Wogglebug.
There's a whole chapter called The Tin Woodman Plucks a Rose.
Like, what are we doing here? They stuff the Scarecrow full of money.
Right.
At one point, they build the Gump out of like a bunch of junk.
Couches.
They're like two couches, some leaves, and like a deer head, glue it together, and like pour some magic life powder on it. And they're like, "Glad we did that. Yeah. We made the Gump, and he flies."
I do like the Gump's like fuck. The Gump's like crisis of living. He's like, "What am I?
What am I?
Am I a Gump?" And they're like, "No, you're not really a Gump." And he's like, "Oh, so I'm just like a slave."
He's like, "I'm a nothing. I'm a thing." I think he says. And then they get these magic pills. They're like wishing pills.
Yeah.
I marked that they were really funny. I did not specifically say what happens with them, but if I remember correctly, they eat a pill, and then they like wish for something stupid. And then they eat another one, and they're like, I wish we didn't eat any of these. I wish we never had these in the first place. And they get them all back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's good. That's, like, really ironic, like, genuinely funny writing. Not really in the rest of the book at all. Just one funny thing.
They don't use it for anything plot relevant.
Yeah, then they're just like, good thing we got these back. Let's throw these in the garbage. There's so much like nothing in the book.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's any setup and payoff ever.
No.
I
thought they were maybe gonna do something with, like, they were like, General Ginger appealed to Mombi. I was like, oh, maybe this is gonna be, you know, Mombi's coming back. That's kind of interesting. Maybe Mombi's gonna be like the fucking vanguard of the woman army. And then it's just like, nah.
No.
They
are flying the Gump so far that they fly to California.
Right.
It's not specifically stated that it's California, but it's heavily implied that they're like, we're over a city that kind of looks like San Francisco. And then they land in a mountain, and then they just, like, leave. And I was like, they obviously are like, well, we're in the real world. And they're like, let's go back to Oz. Yeah. And they do. They don't meet anybody from the real world. They don't see Dorothy. There's no, like, the wizard. They're just like, nah, let's leave. Go back. Let's go. They're like, we're not supposed to be.
Again, it's like, they don't have a purpose. I guess their purpose is stopping the women army now. But, like, at the beginning of the book, Tip is just like, I don't know. I guess I'll...
I just want to, like, hang out.
I wish my mom would stop making me do chores.
Again, Tip is the main character. And, like, he kind of has some stuff to do later on in the book. But for a lot of the book, he's like, I'm friends with the Scarecrow now. We're just hanging out.
I'm this pumpkin's dad.
I'm his dad. And the pumpkin is like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But yeah, like, you know, if you were like, oh, The Wizard of Oz, the book one is about a little girl from Kansas and she goes to Oz. Then if you were like, book two, we're going to take all the characters from Oz. We're going to bring them into the real world and see what happens.
Right.
That's funny.
That would be cool, yeah.
That's kind of, you know, I've seen that before of, like, Narnia, some stuff like that happens. Sure. Where there's, like, that flip-flopping back and forth of, like, oh, now Jumanji, it happens. Right. They go to Jumanji in the sequels instead of Jumanji comes to them.
Right, Dunstan checks in.
Is that Crocodile Dundee? What is
I don't know. I'm just saying movie names. I think Dunstan Checks In is a movie where a chimp lives in a hotel.
Hey, he's checking in. But yeah, so when they went to the real world, I was really excited. But then they leave immediately without interacting with anybody. They don't even go. They don't even have to hide.
And again, I think it is because like Tip is from Oz, so it's not even like that. Even if it doesn't. Make up a big part of the book, it would be interesting if they're like, Tip visits his family in the real world or something.
But yeah, or like, even
if Dorothy was in for a scene.
If they were like, let's go visit Dorothy, and then they saw Dorothy, and Dorothy was like, you have to go back to Oz, like I had to come back to Kansas.
Yeah.
And it would be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, right. You know, it's about, like, finding your purpose, and Dorothy already found hers. Yes. That was what the first book's about. And it's about Tip, but I'm like, no, there's no meeting of the mentor. The mentor is Wogglebug, and he's like, Tip, do you think we should go back to Oz? And they're like, I'll kill you.
Shut the fuck up, Wogglebug.
At one point, Tip is like, I will throw you off the dump. And I was like, dude, what is your...
I hate the Wogglebug.
I'm like, that's like some shit the villain said.
Tip is kind of ruthless. I do kind of fuck with Tip. Tip's kind of cutthroat. I like it.
I like him too. So they're like, we can't figure out what to do. Let's go see Glinda. They go see Glinda, and Glinda's like, yeah, Ginger can't be the ruler. And Scarecrow's like, thank you. And Glinda's like, yeah, Scarecrow, you can't be the ruler either. And they're like, what? And she's like, yeah, because we're looking for Pastoria's daughter, Ozma.
Of course.
And I was like, Ozma mentioned. Let's find out who Ozma is. And then Glinda's like, yeah, Ozma? Tip, you're Ozma.
Yeah.
And Tip's like, huh? And they're like, yeah, you're Ozma. Mombi and the wizard changed you into a boy when you were like one. And you were raised as Tip, but you're Ozma. And he's like, what the fuck?
This part of the book is just strange.
And then they're like, yeah, we're going to turn you back into a girl. And he's like, "What? I don't want to be a girl." Yeah, he is like, "I don't want to be a girl." And Glinda's like, "Too bad.
You gotta be Ozma.
You're Ozma. You're Ozma now." And she turns him into a girl. And he's like, I don't know how I feel. He's really like, I don't know how I feel about this. He's like, this is like a strange, a big change for me. It's weird.
It's very weird.
And we'll get into it in a minute, but I wanted to say Ginger's army just makes fudge all day. That's mentioned. That's all they do. Again, right. What do people in Oz do all day? I guess make fudge.
Imagine being an army person in Oz. I think there's one line where when Ginger's invading the Emerald City, where like the standing army of Oz is just one guy.
It's one old guy.
It's one old man.
The Emerald City, is not green. It's not fake green. They fly in using the Gump, and it's just green. The Gump then is like, please kill me. Yeah. I want to die now.
It's a recurring theme with Oz for some reason.
The Scarecrow and the Tin Man are like, we will decide never to be parted. And I was like, bomb, is this book about a transgender princess and gay best friends ahead of its time or offensive? I don't know. Scarecrow is still full of money. And I don't know why my last note says the riches of content.
That's the last chapter, which I will be honest, I read in a rush, and frankly, I don't remember anything.
I think I was trying to say that this is, we're really experiencing the riches of the content of having a lot of content to look at. But again, I made these notes 2 months ago. Yeah.
That acts really, okay, so they end the war. The Gump gets broken up into pieces. Ozma orders the Gump to be taken apart. So they kill the Gump.
They just kill the Gump. But yeah, so, okay. So let's talk about the feminism and the transgender stuff. And then we'll do all our other segments.
Okay, wait. Hold on. It's the last line of the book. I don't know what this means. Ozma says, "You are both rich, my friends. And the riches are the only riches worth having. The riches of content." Which I don't...
Oh, like the content of your character.
Right, right.
I guess.
Maybe. Or... Who cares?
Who cares? Let's look... Yeah, so this book is like, again, kind of about like first wave feminism.
Yeah.
About like, these women are so stupid. They want to be in charge, but
They just want to wear rings and make fudge.
But also, he then is like, but Scarecrow shouldn't be in charge either. A woman should be in charge. Ozma.
But it's a woman who is a
who's
boy.
A boy? Like Cleopatra?
Or
Hatshepsut?
Right.
We did Hatshepsut in class yesterday. Right. That's why I know that. What is he trying to say here?
Because it's not even totally anti... Well, it is anti-woman, but it's not even totally like anti... Woman in government.
It is anti first wave feminism, but he's like, but they have a point. He's like, no, the way they were doing it is wrong.
The Scarecrow is a scarecrow. He doesn't have a brain.
Yeah, they're like, no, the Scarecrow shouldn't be ruling either, but he was also like, just random women shouldn't be ruling. It should be the monarchy should reign. And I was like, what?
The clarity of message is much more muddled in this one than book one.
It doesn't really... Again, I guess it's just, like, the riches of content. That was the point he was trying to make.
Yeah.
He was trying to be, like, as long as you're a good person and you have friends...
You don't need to tear the Emerald City down to make rings.
I thought Ginger was going to be, more important.
Yeah, she's not really...
She's not important at all.
No.
They, like, are like, we have to go find Mommy, and she's just, like, on the team after that. But it's not even like, oh, she switched sides. It's just like...
She's here.
Not important. I think Mommy turns into like a grasshopper or something.
Something, yeah.
I don't remember. And I don't care.
I don't care.
But yeah, this book is just so fucking weird. Again, this was the one where I was like, these are gonna be weird forever, I think. And again, just like, why would he do the trans thing and then have Tip be like, I don't like this.
I don't get it at all.
Because it's also not like Tip is like, yay! Or like, aw, shucks. He's like, I'm deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the only other time he reacts to something like that is Wogglebug.
Yeah. Like, the most... It's... Especially because, like, I'm just thinking about the time they wrote this and just, like... I don't understand. I don't know what Bob was getting at. Like, I, in my heart, I'm like, this is a book from
the 1800s, surely this isn't about trans stuff. But then I'm like, what is the other reading?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't imagine any other reading.
All right. Well, I got thoughts from my brother. Let's do this segment real quick.
Thoughts from my brother.
Thoughts from my brother across the pond. My
brother. Hello, Gavner! That's the sound bite. He's in Scotland. He's not even.
Yeah, he's in Scotland.
Or sorry, he's in Dubai.
He's in Scotland. He's what in is Scotland.
It? Saudi Arabia.
No. It says, this is a text I got. It said, watch the first episode of Oz, the show, while baking banana bread and cleaning the shower. And I do not think you should bother with doing another one every 5 episodes. And we might not. We might be done with Oz the show.
We are inclined to agree. Oz the show is quite bad.
I did not like that show. He had some other notes, but I think they were more about... he had some notes on the show Oz. He said, when I was teaching... I was stuck in detention. And I said I was going to put the show Oz on for the kids in detention. And he said, detention is the penis system.
It's true.
It's true. And then he said he doesn't know what the experiment of Oz the prison was. And we didn't either. We can't figure that out.
I think it's that they don't have supervision, really. But they do. I don't know. It's a terrible show.
And then he's actually read all the books. He's read just finished the fourth Oz book.
Oh.
So he's ahead of us. Yeah. Now. And I'm like, yeah, we're probably not going to get to that one
for a while.
You're going to outpace us. But those are some immediate thoughts from my brother. He is very excited about having his own segment. So that's, let me see. Yeah, I think that's good for right now. Because we got other segments to get to. Our new segment this week is just going to be listening to Ozzy. It'll be called Ozzy Noises. So, let's get this guy up here.
Stop. Make more noises. He usually makes a lot more noises.
I'm sure the entire episode has his noises in the background. But that's Ozzy Noises. That's our new segment. Probably won't be coming. Maybe
it'll be very rare. probably about a once a year segment.
Let's do Ozberg, baby. This is the second book. But
this is a tough one to rank.
It's like, if you've read one, if you've read two, you've probably read the first one and this one.
Right.
But,
like, I think there are people that know that there's sequel books.
This is, like, the least important thing ever, probably. Not, honestly, yeah. Definitely not, because I forgot how much slop there is.
Well, I'm trying, because a lot of... a lot of the most famous adaptations do take stuff.
I would place this probably lower than Return to Oz. But probably in the same
lower than right.
Probably in the same level as Return to Oz, Return to Dorothy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Especially because they use so much of the stuff from this.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, Return to Oz is like the one that people know.
Yeah, no, but people don't really know Legends of Oz, but they do a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm like, they know this one a little bit. If you were like, this is the one that movie's based
right.
on, that Return to Oz is based on, they'd be like, okay. So wherever we put Legends of Oz, I think we put it in 4.
Did we put it that low? Was it a 3 or 4? I don't remember. Well, I think it was a 3.
It's probably a 3 then. Yeah, it's probably a 3. That makes sense. This is a 3.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, if you read the first one, you're like, are there sequels? There might be.
There might be.
There's 500 sequels. 17, so maybe you've read the second one. We're going to get real into the dirt soon where we're like, book 89. Where are we ranking this? No, nothing. let's do some meters, man.
Right.
Donkey meter. There's a horse.
There's a sawhorse.
And there's a gump.
If you combine the sawhorse and the gump, that's at least 0.5 donkeys.
I would give this... Honestly, I'd give this one donkey.
One whole donkey.
Whole donkey. This might be our first full donkey. And there's still no donkeys in it.
There's no donkey.
The only thing that had a donkey was
that silent
film, which I think is taking from book 4 and 5.
Great. We'll get to it.
Bimetal is a meter.
I'm giving this at least a 0.5 on the bottom. They got nickel and tin.
They got nickel, tin. They got...
those aren't the two main medals, but those are two distinct medals.
Do they have any other medals? They've got money. Is the money dollars or coins?
I don't know. I don't. I couldn't get a read on that.
I don't. They just keep saying the money.
I'm gonna choose to believe it's paper money, it's since paper. They're stuffing it into Scarecrow.
Yeah, they use paper money in Oz. Who's making that? Why do we never see them go to a store? They talk so much about money and riches. There's no store.
That's true.
You'd think, like, that would be interesting if they were like, we're going to the fucking pie store. Well, yeah,
even Mombi, when she buys her shit, she goes to, like, an evil wizard in a mountain.
Yeah.
She's like, I trade secrets with this guy in a mountain.
She doesn't use money. Nausea Meter.
It's a book. It's a book. I'm going to give it a zero.
Zero. I read this book. I actually read this book at a hospital, right. Mostly. I was at work and not teaching. And they were like, this woman got into a car accident. Can you take her to the hospital? And I did, and I read this entire book in the waiting room. And she came out, and she was like, I'm fine.
Great.
And I was like, they paid me for today.
Hey, respect to her. Glad you're okay.
Speaking of respect, let's do that disrespect meter.
Disrespect.
I would say this is a little disrespectful to book one.
Well, it's...
Because he's ignoring a bunch of the stuff he invented.
Yeah, but it is...
But it's him.
So
I'm like, anything Baum does can't be disrespectful.
Right, it's disrespectful the same way, like, fucking Chef is disrespectful to Iron Man, I guess.
Yeah, like, it's iterating on your own work, and in that, I gotta give it a zero. This book is great or terrible, I can't tell on the meter scale.
It's a lot of zeros.
It's a lot of zeros. Money laundering meter.
There's money.
They hide it in the Scarecrow. They put it in Scarecrow. That's a one.
That's at least a one.
That's a one.
I'm going up to two.
And you know what? They hide. They launder Tip. They launder Ozma.
Right.
That's a two. That's a two. New meter. Fucking transgender meter.
Trans meter. How trans is it?
Maybe LGBTQ
sure.
meter.
Gay meter.
Gay meter, and it includes trans people.
Right.
This book has. Gay, but Wogglebug's gay.
Wogglebug's
obviously.
Sure. Gay is in annoying. He's an annoying nerd. He's a gay annoying.
There
nerd.
Was something we were just watching that was like, everybody get gay, or like, does this make you gay or something?
Oh, we were watching What's My Line.
Yeah, and they were like, does it induce gayety?
Yes.
Will it make me feel gay? And they were talking about a nudist resort,
right?
And I was like, this is awesome.
Everyone look into What's My Line. It's a great 1950s game show.
That's what surfs from.
That has Bet It Surf. You're going to like Bet It Surf.
You guys love. We're watching What's My Line as soon as we wrap.
I have been watching so much of it.
I haven't really watched any of it.
This guy.
I've been waiting for you. I've been like, I want to hang out with you and watch it. Game Meter, this is honestly 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
This is the gayest book I've ever read.
Pretty, especially for the time. I'm like. This has got a lot of gay stuff.
Yeah, Scarecrow and Tin Man are like, we want to live together forever.
Probably the only thing we'll ever cover that will be more gay than this is Oz Episode 1, and we didn't have that meter back then.
Yeah, somehow. But, I mean, there's like gay Oz stuff. Friends of Dorothy.
Oh, what am I saying? I got plenty of gay stuff.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they get to gay in Wicked.
Right.
Like in the books, because sure. There's like 20 of those.
Right, and they're all horny or whatever.
And I'm like, well, you would, wouldn't you? They talked about peeing in like a I opened up a random page of Wicked, and they were like, I'm going to piss on him.
Gross.
And I was like, is that a threat? And it was.
Wicked is so much weirder than I realized. I thought it was like a mom, like, musical.
That's what the musical is.
Oh.
The musical is just like a musical. And the book is like, they're fucking...
Gross.
Let's roll some Osmonds.
This is a review from Shane White, 5 stars. The first real Oz book. It's a shame that most people have only seen the 1939 movie, The Wizard of Oz, and know nothing about what follows, because the story was pretty much just an introduction to the series. In the marvelous Land of Oz, the story of Oz really begins. A lot of people probably get turned off that it's the only Oz book without Dorothy and don't get any farther. Which is a shame, because if you read this book, you don't know who Ozma is. The characters of this story are alive and real. All excellently
drawn. No, they're
not.
They're fictional.
The pictures are all faithfully reproduced in their original glory. You'll be addicted to the series at once. I disagree.
You read this and you're like, oh, so all these books are exactly the same and also completely unconnected to each other.
Yeah.
I feel no desire to read any more of them, unless I was doing some kind of Wizard of Oz theme podcast. First review, I actually should have put this in thoughts from my brother. He posted this review. The Gump is the perfect symbol for these books. Assembled with no plan out of a pile of garbage that somehow is still really funny to be around. Great review. Thank you. That goes into the segment thoughts from my brother. You back to you.
Sure. This is a review from Ishka Bibble, which is a deli in Philadelphia I went to a lot. It's called Poo on Part 2. 3 stars.
Poo.
This story is nowhere near as entertaining or as put together as the first book. My kid likes it, though, so I gave it 3 stars. The Scarecrow is kind of a jerk.
You know what? Short and to the point. We've got some questions in Jason's review. A Straw King? Transgender issues addressed? What in the heck's a Wogglebug? Heaven knows what's going on here, but I like it. 4 stars. I'm beginning to think my reaction to the first book may have been prejudiced. He liked the movie too much. He didn't like the book as much. But he likes this one. It's delightful. It has a delightful surprise ending. I have to agree with that, Jason.
This is a review from Anonymous, 1 star. For children only? Maybe? After spending time with Tolkien, H.G. Wells, and Edgar Rice Burroughs, this was unreadable. Disappointing.
What?
Hey, dickhead, this is a children's book.
You're worried that you're upset that it's not as good as Edgar Rice Burroughs? Wait, is Edgar Rice Burroughs... I'm thinking of William S. Burroughs.
Edgar Rice Burroughs is not William S. Burroughs, who was a gay heroin addict.
Who was Edgar Rice?
I don't know. I assume he did fantasy.
He did Tarzan.
Okay.
So those were books for kids. Oh, and he did John Carter.
Hey, he did no Tolkien.
He did this book, The Gods of Mars.
It has a lady on it.
We are going to look at The Wizard of Mars.
Right.
And we're also going to look at The Gods Must Be Crazy. So maybe this has kind of inspired both of them?
Great.
Yeah, well, we'll get to John Carter eventually. I'm going to skip this one. I'm going to go to... this one says... I've never left a review before, but this drove me to it. I'm reading this to my 5-year-old son and have had to stop and explain the history of sexism to him.
What?
An army of girls takes over Emerald City using knitting needles, makes men do chores, heavens no, and is scared away by mice. Seriously? You actually don't have to explain the history of sexism to your 5-year-old son. You could just be like, yeah, it's silly. Or read him a different book.
You don't need to keep reading it. If you don't like the obviously fucking, like, anti-first wave feminism stuff, just don't read it. Be like, oh, you know what? I don't like that book anymore.
Also, you could just be like, well, you know, girls really aren't always scared of mice. And they'll be like, okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like, Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton got together in Seneca Falls.
Also, again, children's book. Just be like, this book's silly.
Yeah, be like, this book is just silly. He's 5, he'll get it. He'll be like, okay.
Alani Jordan calls this an overall God story. I believe they meant good. 4 stars. Don't let the crazy parts in this book turn you away. In the end, it all adds up and you see how marvelous the story really is. Things are not always as they seem.
Oh, that's so true. Like Tip.
Like Tip's gender.
This says, it was a bit of a weird read. This book exists in a strange place between trying to be feminist and some internalized misogyny. No, Baum was probably just a misogynist.
Yeah.
He was a man who was probably born in like 1850.
Who cared about bimetallism?
He loved bimetallism and probably did not have any internalized misogyny. He probably wore it proud on his sleeve. He wrote a whole book about it.
Yeah.
There were some amusing quotes, but the ending left a bad taste in my mouth. I'm not trans, so I can't say much about it, or maybe I'm way off. But the ending didn't sit well with me, mostly Glinda. Tip doesn't want to turn back into Ozma. So Glinda pretty much says, you will be a girl and you will like it, otherwise it will be a lie. And only evil people know how to change others' gender. And Tip agrees to give it a chance and turn back if they don't like it. It still felt to me like Glinda calling being trans evil and lies. It does kind of feel like that. A little bit, almost. But also...
Also, I don't think that Frank Baum knew what a trans person was.
Trans people existed. But That's true. That's always true. Trans people always existed.
Sure.
But they did. But Baum didn't know what they were at all. No. He didn't even know what fucking. He was putting a Hungarian goulash in a fairy tale book. He was probably smoking like crack. Like genuinely, he was probably like, I smoke a pound of crack every night.
That was medicine.
That's medicine to me. I'm electroshocking myself. I think let's do one more.
I'm tapped. You go ahead.
We'll do it real quick. This one just has one star. This book was absolutely stupid. Like, nothing makes sense. The old characters didn't feel like themselves, and the new ones are super annoying. Yeah, so an absolute pile of poop emoji.
Great.
Sorry!
Get fucked, Bomb.
Bomb, you can't hack it. That was a review from Max.
And he's pissed.
And he's pissed. All right. Well, we did our Osmonds. Do you know what it's time for?
I don't. Is it smut?
It's time for smut.
Smut or what?
Or what?
Okay. So let's start. This week I decided to delve into the world of pornography comics. Because I thought, if the stories weren't explicit enough, I wanted to see the grotesque pictures as well. So here's our first story, 50 Shades of Emerald. An egregiously explicit BDSM comic that features the Wizard of Oz engaged in all manner of debauched acts with Dorothy in order to send her back home. From making her wear an inflatable spandex suit that resembles a weird sort of scuba apparatus, to conflation, to x-ray panels of the Wizard Seed, this comic has everything for the freakiest of Oz freaks.
I've read that one, yeah.
The next one, The Wizard of Jizz, an extremely over-the-top and tongue-in-cheek gay parody of The Wizard of Oz. Dorian, a young farmhand in Kansas who dreams of becoming a porn star, is transported to the magical land of jizz. Dorian and his penis-shaped dog befriend a muscle-bound scarecrow by sucking him off, and later befriend the handsome and hairy Tin Man, also by sucking him off, before the three run into the Cowardly Lion, whom they befriend in a way I'll leave to the reader's imagination. The three finally arrive at the Hemorrhoidal City, where they meet the Wizard of Jizz, who is a bronze naked old man in the middle of a fucking sick DJ set. The group engage in an orgy with the wizard, and after he's done, he transports Dorian to Holewood to fulfill his dream of stardom. Our last comic...
I read that one too, by the way.
Our last comic is called... Lara Does Oz.
Oh.
A porn comic in which Lara Croft falls asleep while reading The Wizard of Oz and dreams of herself as Dorothy Gale going on an erotic version of the classic story. She is double-teamed on the yellow brick road by Tin Man, whose penis is steaming red, and Scarecrow, whose penis is a piece of driftwood. While the three are going at it, the Cowardly Lion appears and joins in. Lara wakes up and is feeling awfully horny, so she calls up her elderly butler to come and have sex with her. The comic ends with the Tin Man, Scarecrow, and Cowardly Lion hiding under the bed for some reason. I don't know what was going on.
It's like, and you were there, and you were there. I read that one too.
Great.
Okay, look. I completely believe that somebody has a Wizard of Oz fetish. And lots of people have Lara Croft fetishes. I believe that one exists. I'm going to rule that one out.
Okay.
The second one is the gay one.
Sure.
That was the Wizard of Jizz.
Yes, the Wizard of Jizz.
And the first one was just like, I like the idea of the first one of like, it's a bunch of different like, techniques to try and get, because sometimes like artists will do that with comics. They'll do like, this idea for this page is like, we need to do like
conflation.
I mean, yeah, sometimes, but they'll be like, well, that's the idea for this page, and then the next page is this, and the next page is this. They'll do it like, even though they'll have like different panel breakdowns, each page will be like themed. So that also kind of makes sense to me, but I just don't necessarily feel like the gay one. His name was like Dorian. I think you could have made that up. That seems like something you could do. It just doesn't feel like it didn't have a realistic flavor to it.
Mm.
So I'm going to guess that one.
Dylan has failed today's instance of Smutter 1. I wrote 50 Shades of Emerald, which I thought would be obvious because it's by far the shortest one, because I didn't want to actually write a bunch of BDSM porn.
I do tune like half of this stuff now. It's like so hard for me to listen.
The Wizard of Jizz is really bad. I gotta show you the cum. There's so much like hair and cum in that one.
Yeah. Ugh. We did look at one yesterday. We were texting about it, called The Wizard of Ooze. It's actually a Wally Wood comic that he did for Gang Bang.
For all you comic heads.
Wally Wood, obviously creator of Daredevil's Red Suit, creator of Giving Power Girl Big Boobs.
Nice.
Hilarious, incredible artist and writer. The Wizard of Ooze is... I flipped through it.
The lion eats Dorothy's pussy.
Yeah, everyone's eating pussy in there. I think at one point they're eating the witch's pussy.
Right.
And then if I remember correctly, the witch is sucking the lion off and he pees on her and she melts. And I was like, Wally, you are the funniest fucker in the world.
Acclaimed pervert, Wally Wood.
That whole book is just like porn parodies.
Yeah.
I read the Superman and Wonder Woman one. It was called Superman and Blunder Woman.
Sweet.
And at one point they're having sex and he's like realizes Lois is in danger. And he flies to save her, and they're, like, still having sex. And he goes, let's fly united, because they're connected. And I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever
read. I got to read The Wizard of Ooze. I saw it. I just saw the picture of the lion eating pussy. Yeah. And
you
got to
read the colored version.
Right.
They did a colorized version. But, yeah, Wally Wood, genuinely one of the greats. I think he killed himself.
Oh, my God. R.I.P. Also, for all you record heads, Dylan's record's 2-3.
I'm close.
R.I.P. Wally Wood.
R.I.P. Wood. We already did our new segment, and we're like an hour in.
Yeah,
so.
This is a breezy
yet. Yeah, this felt quick. It's because we didn't have to watch anything today.
Right. Sorry, Ozzy. I just poked my dog in his butthole with my big toe accidentally.
Hey, that's okay. Fortune cookie for you. Fortune cookie for me.
I'm also looking up. Something.
You're looking up something. All right, okay. Well, listen to that crackle. That's
the Oscars guarantee.
Did we miss an Oscars guarantee? We got Cheeto in the White House.
We got Cheeto in the White House.
I don't think so. I don't think we missed it. Oh, Carlos the Great and Powerful. That comes at the end.
That's
really.
The thank yous.
Yeah. I'm eating this. I'm hungry. Dude, mine's empty.
What?
Mine's empty. I got no fortune this week. That kind of scares me.
What?
Why is there no fortune in it?
I probably forgot. Your finances will bring you peace of mind.
So true. We're making bank off this now. Did I tell you that?
What's the Patreon at?
The Patreon is at 1 trillion subscribers.
Wow.
Elon Musk agreed to our deal. We're each getting 80 million each.
Wow.
For him to be on the episode, and we're going to make him read porn and shoot him.
You know, I know everyone likes his trans daughter, and she seems nice. I don't like how long her hair is.
Cut it! Cut it
out!
It's
so long.
I didn't have a fortune. I feel like I should... You know what? I got no fortune.
He doesn't get one this week.
I got no future. Well, actually, look. That may be... I can connect that to Ozcast because... Wait, yours was about money, right?
Yeah.
They stuffed a scarecrow full of money.
So true.
We might not have an episode for you next week. We
right.
might go on hiatus.
Dylan's going to Paris, like you said.
I'm going to Paris. We might be on a little bit of a hiatus. We might have some special guest hosts on.
Oh! Maybe our sister pod.
We might do a backdoor pilot for our sister podcast. The pod on Steelmanville Road. I'm not sure yet. We'll see.
It'll take some cajoling, but maybe we can work it out.
But... I wanted to record the Vaughn episode, and we couldn't, so now we're an episode, not behind, but just, we might not have one. We might have to go on a little hiatus, but it shouldn't be too long. We should be back soon. Maybe a week or two.
Yeah.
But Ozcast will never die.
It'll never die. Like rock and roll.
Dude, just like Bon Jovi.
Hey, hey, bye-bye. Ozcast will never die.
So true.
Thank you, Neil Young.
What'd you look up?
I forgot the name of the character for my Wickedly Talented performance.
Oh, fuck. What am I going to... Oh, Easy, actually. I'll get his name. Yeah, no, I know his name. I'll get his the actor's name.
I think I could go first, I guess, if you want to look it up.
Yeah, I got to find
it. Okay. All right, it's time for our...
Wickedly Talented performance!
That was pretty good.
My Wickedly Talented performance of the week is going to go to Willem Dafoe in the Boondock Saints. As Agent Paul Smecker? Funny name. You know, he's a villain in the sense that he's looking for those two Boondock boys, but he's really good at heart as an FBI agent trying to find crime.
He's got to find the Boondock Saints.
Have you ever seen that clip from, like, an interview where he's like, you know, my character is, he's gay, but he loves classical music? Yeah. That's this. It is a great performance. Huh. He is gay and he does love classical music. Very good performance.
Willem Dafoe, you're always going to be on this, man.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We love you here.
Dafoe, you're our first two-timer, so congrats.
I'm
going to
put the theme in also, the one we did last week.
Sure.
That'll work.
Yeah, it'll work.
My pick for Wickedly Talented has to go to Jean Maria Volante for El Indio and For a Few Dollars More.
Sick-ass movie.
He's so good in it. He is, like, unbelievably good. There's one scene where he, he kills one of his own men, and then is like, he was trying to steal from me, so I had to kill him. And he was just, like, lying, and then he turns on, like, everyone's like, is this guy lying? And he freaks out, and it's awesome. He's one of the coolest movies
I've ever seen. Those movies are so sick. I'm so excited for you to watch The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
I know, I keep almost getting to it, and then having to go take a nap. Because I'm very tired.
It's a long one. You do need to set aside like a day for that one.
It's like nearly 3 hours. The first one was like 90 minutes. I was like, this is a breeze. Second one was like 2 hours, 10. Third one was like 3 hours. I'm like, okay.
All right. I guess that wraps it.
I think that wraps it. Let's do thank yous. I don't think there's anything else we have to
say. I think that's it.
Well, let's do our thank yous.
Thank you to Ozzy for being here.
Thank you to this little pup.
Thank you, of course, Carlos the Great and Powerful.
Thank you to Dice for being such an ace.
You thought we'd get through an episode without him. You were mistaken. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren. Lauren actually said I don't need to work in the boiler room this week.
Wow.
Yeah, he said he's going to cut me a break. All I have to do is sharpen 9,000 pencils.
Would you suck off, Lauren?
I have to. He makes me suck off all the time. But thanks for giving me an hour off hauling around you on your palanquin to let me record this podcast. Thank you to Bob.
Hillary.
To Hillary for
that. Keeping that shit tight.
my Wickedly Talented performance of next week has got to be Hillary and Frazzle Dress.
It's so true.
I think that's all the thank yous. I mean, look, this one I might say... You know, that you, in this, I'm like, there's nothing you wouldn't understand. So I don't really know if I can say this, but you know, folks, it's Ozcast.
You're not supposed to get it.
But sometimes you do.
Maybe you might.
You might sometimes, but you know what? We love you.
I don't love you.
Fuck you, Oz freaks. And remember to
give me money.
Hit that bell icon and remember to subscribe.
Bitch.